Oh my God.
Did you see out there there's a head coach playing rock, paper, scissors with players to see their competitiveness?
Because they're really going to take that seriously and really try to win that.
Hey, man, if you pick paper, you're not getting picked in that first three rounds, baby. It's just not happening.
It's time to fade the chalk.
Fade the chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, to discuss another NFL draft prospect profile is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, what's going on, my dude?
Chilling, man. I just got done playing a very competitive game of rock, paper, scissors. So now I'm ready to go in the first three rounds of the NFL draft in a couple days. So I'm feeling good right now. I'm feeling the competitive edge is there. Went with a really good strategy. And like I said, I'm feeling good.
I mean, you got to be consistent, man. I mean, this is crazy. I don't even... I'm trying to think of something witty to say back to this, but, I mean, we need the NFL draft, dude. We need the draft to happen now. We got people out in the street talking about Joe Flacco's actually going to compete for a starting job. You got coaches talking about rock, paper, scissors. Oh, my Lord!
It's a good thing those two teams. It's a good thing those two teams you mentioned aren't the same team. Oh, wait, they are.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry, Eagles fans. I mean, look, we can't make any of this stuff up, man. This is all real. These are real headlines right now. I'm so sorry. You know, this is what happens when all the news dries up, and this is what we're left to talk about for the NFL right now, Adam.
Yeah, it's egregious, and it just adds to the fact that I just need the draft to get here. Everybody's freaking out about 4 pounds from Devonta Smith this morning.
Look, I opened social media this morning. I pull up Twitter and I'm like, oh, it's going to be a day, man. It's going to be a day. We got rock, paper, scissors. We got quarterback competitions. We got 4 pound narratives, baby. Double count season is real, man. So before we get this kicked off, got to be talking about, and you got to get some action over at Underdog right now. Use the promo code FTN. We're going to be discussing some Seth Williams today. He's going at the end of these drafts. ADP is outside the top 190. If you want this rookie action, head over there today. They have got new tournaments popping off every single day. You could do private drafts now. Use that promo code FTN. Get drafting. If you don't like it, they will honor a money-back guarantee within the first month and refund you up to $100. No risk winning some money and enjoying these best ball drafts. All right, Adam, let's get this kicked off, dude. Enough rock, paper, scissors around this place. Four-star prospect Seth Williams per 24/7 Sports. The guy was, I mean, look, he balled out in high school. All-state honors in basketball, as well as had high marks in the long and high jump. Competed, finished very, very high at the state level. He ended up committing to Auburn over Alabama, even though he was recruited by your dude, your boy, Brian Daboll during his time at Alabama. This last season from 2019 to 2020 saw him drop a good bit of weight, really commit to the weight room, drop from 224 to 211. Looking at his overall production profile, the guy stands at 6'3". You're looking at a 78th percentile college dominator, 55th percentile college yards per reception. The target share was there. I mean, Auburn didn't have a lot in the passing game, but he was basically it, dude. All right, 83rd percentile, 29.3% college target share, and a good breakout age at 98th percentile of 18.4%. Going all the way back to 2018, 534 receiving yards. Now, in these last two seasons, that bumped up for Auburn, 830 and 760. And you see the target share, like, they were not great at throwing the ball over at Auburn, but 26% target share, 29% target share, What jumps out to you about Seth Williams just off the top with his production?
Yeah, it was definitely good to see him dominate the targets in his last 2 years at Auburn. A lot of people look at like the catch rate and the fact that he had 59 catches on 105 targets, and then last year 47 catches on 106 targets. But the inconsistencies in the passes were a problem. A lot of non-catchable passes. So that played a part as well. I think it was good. I'm a really high on receivers that get a huge target share. And we saw that the last two seasons from Seth Williams. The breakout age was 98th percentile. So that's good too. We like to see that. So like a lot of these advanced metrics and stuff like that point to Seth Williams being a really interesting prospect. And that's how I feel about him. Made plays deep down the field with what 15 and over 15 yards per reception. So, there is a lot there with Seth Williams from his production standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, you see the early career production at the college level as well as, I mean, he definitely pops off the page as far as yards per route run, amongst all wide receivers of 25 or more targets. In the last 2 years, he was 112th out of 361, 75th out of 519 wide receivers. So, pretty good marks there, man. I mean, definitely he checks a lot of boxes, man. And I mean, when you're watching the film for him, you can see some different usage as well. Going all the way back to 2018, he was predominantly in the slot, 57% of his snaps. Now, you see that changed a lot over the last two seasons. Played mostly outside, 77 to 88% of his snaps. Let's lean into these strengths, Adam. Like, when you turned on the film for Seth Williams, what jumped out to you as things that he did well that you think could translate to the NFL level?
Yeah, so we talked about this with Pat Corain a couple weeks ago, but, like, they're really, among this receiver class, there's not a lot of guys that offer that huge size, right? Like, these 6'3", 220 receivers, and Seth Williams is basically one of them, right? 6'3", 211. Look, there's not a lot of huge receivers in this class, and Williams has that. I thought his pro day, like, for that size, he ran, I think, a 4.49 40. His speed score was pretty impressive for a player of his size as well. But from just watching the games, obviously was really, like, he's got really strong hands. That was one of the first things I noticed. I think his hands are really solid. And, like, when he is at the catch point, and when he is, like, he plays physical when the ball is in the air and when he has the ball in his hands. Like, he's, for a guy of his size, he's actually a lot better after the catch than I thought he would be before I started watching him. Broke a lot of tackles, forced a lot of missed tackles as well. And I think, like, some of the issues we had with somebody like Dyami Brown at the catch point, like, Seth Williams, I think, is a lot better at the catch point and is physical and goes up and gets it in that regard. So I liked that. And I think he's, like, I don't think he's a great route runner, but I don't think he's, like, awful. Like, it's something he could definitely work on for sure as a separator. But, like, there were some times where he was a little bit, deceptive with his routes, which was nice to see. And finally, it's not as flashy, but I was actually really impressed with him as a blocker. Like, he was a willing blocker. He finished blocks down the field. So that's always nice to see if you're looking for playing time for a rookie.
So, I mean, considering the size, and I saw some of the same things you did. I mean, standing at 6'3", 211, I thought he had good, not great, short area quickness. Like, he was able to gain separation on short and intermediary routes. I mean, so that's something you want to see, especially by a bigger receiver. I thought he was good at high pointing the ball. His ball skills, especially, like, the thing that stood out to me, and you talked about it, Adam, about Seth Williams, is the guy was strong with the ball in his hands. Like, 14 missed tackles, tied for fifth amongst all wide receivers last season. And you saw it show up on tape, man. I mean, like, he got the ball in his hands, and he's breaking multiple tackles after the catch. You know, so, as a guy, if I'm talking about translating to the next level, if he is going to be used in the short areas of the field, can he create for himself after the catch? I think that he can, and that's one of the feathers in his cap as far as, like, things that I think are his strengths. But looking at, like, areas that I think that he can improve, staying with, like, his hands and things of that nature, I thought that he could be, for a bigger receiver, I thought he was tougher after the catch than he was at the catch point. Like, I thought he was a little bit inconsistent as far as, like, dominating the catch point, especially considering the size we're talking about for him. Like, a bigger player, and with this draft class, we have a lot of smaller wide receivers, a lot of slot guys and stuff like that. So if you're looking at these bigger guys that play on the outside, if they're going to actualize a ceiling at the NFL level, how is that going to happen? And as an outside wide receiver, a guy that's going to have to go up for the ball and be asked to win on the outside, I'd like to see him get a little bit more consistent and stronger at the catch point. Also, I mean, like, look, I think that he's an okay route runner. I think that as far as his ability, his releases, his ability to gain separation, I think he's got some work there to do, man. And if I'm worried about that and we're worried about the transition going to the NFL level, I mean, look, like, I saw him versus LSU, and you see him line up opposite of Stingley, and he was in his back pocket for a lot of the day. I mean,
there were a lot of improvements in 2020. Like, I think Seth Williams is one of those players that, like, you see flashes a lot. Like, you saw it against South Carolina, where J.C. Horn got the better of him about 85% of that game, but there was one jump ball, yeah, like 40 yards down the field where Seth Williams won, and it's an impressive win against the best man coverage corner in college football. Like, he struggles to get separation against man coverage, which we'll talk about in his weaknesses, but, like, he has the ability to go up and make plays, and if he's making those plays against J.C. Horn, he can make plays against other players as well with his size. I think my biggest takeaway was the fact that I was that impressed and a little bit surprised of how good he was after the catch.
Well, and something we need to bring up here, and I know you and I differ a little bit of this, because you were talking to me in DMs, and you're like, so, Bo Nix. And I was like, what about Bo Nix?
I thought I should have elaborated. I'm not saying he's particularly great. I just thought he was very fun to watch because he's, like, super creative. But yeah, there were some throws totally left on the field.
I told you, man. I thought he's a dollar store version of Gardner Minshew. Like, I was like, oh, this ain't it, baby. Like, and that has to be said and brought up here as well. And we're talking about contested catches and stuff like that. Ball placement factors into that, dude. And Bo Nix, I didn't see it there. Like, there was a few different games, I think one versus Tennessee, where you saw Seth Williams running open, and Bo Nix, all he has to do is hit him in stride, and then he doesn't, and Seth Williams is having to dive for the damn ball because Bo Nix sucks. Like, so I'm almost like, oh, man, that would have been a long gator. Like, what the heck? What are you doing? Like, Seth Williams is wide open, dude. So the ball placement for a receiver like Seth Williams' archetype, it does need to get brought up here. And if we're looking at transition spots to the NFL, what does that look like and what quarterback does he land with? Because if you're telling me he's going to land with somebody that's not willing to fit it into tight windows, we're talking about separation concerns as well as ball placement, that does also need context for the collegiate level and what Bo Nix was not good at, as well as his transition to the NFL. But where did you stand as far as, like, range of outcomes, as far as comps for Seth Williams, and where would you like to see him land?
Well, we got to bring up his weaknesses too. I think he has a long way to go against press man coverage. Like, there were times, like, he doesn't have the best release. His footwork is really inconsistent off press coverage, and, like, there were some times where he just got, you know, pushed off his spot against stronger corners. And he doesn't have a lot of suddenness to him, right? Like, he's not slow, but he's more of like a straight line speed guy. Which
like, the footwork is not there though. You know what I mean? Like, I think we saw the same thing. Like, all
that was worrisome for me. Like, he just, a lot of times, like, with his footwork, it was just like they were moving 100 miles an hour, but he wasn't really going anywhere off of his release. And that's not something you like to see. And then that kind of ties in with the suddenness. Like, he's just, I don't know if he's the most, like, decisive player off press coverage and off the line of scrimmage. There were times where he was against smaller, you know, weaker corners against press coverage, and he just threw them off of them, which you can do at 6'3", 211 with the upper body. But the lower body off the line of scrimmage was definitely a little bit worrisome to me.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the same concerns, man, especially when you're talking about footwork and stuff. Like, I see him sitting here trying to hit releases off the line, and I see him, like, basically looks like he's running in place, and I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, and then he's hand fighting with a corner, and I'm like, they're all into your body. Like, what are you doing, man? You got to have more suddenness. And some of this is like, does he work with a speed coach? Does he do any more of this work at the next level and learn different release techniques? Because, you know, some of that can be taught, can be learned, and can be coached up at the next level. So I saw a lot of the same things you saw on film, but stepping out of areas that he can improve in, where did you sit with comps and where do you see him possibly going in the NFL draft?
So I think best case scenario for him, he's like, he has like an Alshon Jeffrey type game in the NFL, not going to win with a ton of speed, but he's probably faster than Alshon, better after the catch than Alshon. The difference is Alshon could consistently win off press coverage at his size. So that's something like if he gets better off press coverage with his footwork and his release, he could have like an Alshon type ceiling, but I don't think it's going to be more than that. And then like build wise and stuff like that, like he could be like Laquon Treadwell, which Laquon Treadwell was actually Treadwell was a really good prospect coming out, and he was a massive bust. So like, if Williams is Treadwell, it wouldn't be like, you know what I'm saying? Like it wouldn't be a bust because he's not viewed as a first round talent, but it's like that's like the low point. I think if he were to have that type of career, obviously you strive to have a better career than Laquon Treadwell did. So those are probably my comps. Treadwell and Alshon, both not as fast as Seth Williams is, but that's kind of where I landed. And I just want to say, I went on Player Profile, saw that his best comparable is Gabriel Davis, and I got a little excited. But I'm not going there with Gabriel Davis because I think Davis is better route runner, better separator. They're both good in terms of body control, but we know Gabriel Davis, just the toe drag swag king.
Saw the Gabriel Davis comp. And I get it from some perspectives of size and things of that nature, but as far as like abilities as a separator, route runner, and as a deep target, I think you all give those to those are all boxes that Gabriel Davis checks, and I don't think Seth Williams is there. Like, I think Gabriel Davis is a better player than Seth Williams. I'm kind of there, same range with comps, and you're talking about Laquon Treadwell, and I think that's a good point to make, Adam. Like, because right now, like, his EDP for Seth Williams is currently at 117. So you're looking at a guy that we're looking at probably in the fourth round. So that's, I mean, at least right now he's getting mocked to. So third, fourth roundish, and where he kind of sits in that range. So, I mean, with comps, a player that came out, we saw a really similar breakout age. Haven't seen him do anything at the NFL level, but it's only been 1 year, and I still got belief in him. I look at him, and there's differences here, because I think that this player I'm about to name is better at the catch point. I think that he is a better version of Seth Williams, but I saw some Bryan Edwards there. If I'm looking at range of outcomes, I mean, honestly, dude, like, I could see a ceiling as, like, a poor man's Mike Williams. So I think we're in the same kind of neighborhood.
I almost went Mike Williams, by the way, so.
I think Mike Williams is more of a physical freak. Like, that dude he dominates the catch point. He is much better at high-pointing the ball, 50-50 balls than Seth Williams, as well as, I think that there are some release concerns as far as Mike Williams, too, but that's not how Mike Williams wins.
Mike Williams is so, like, ridiculous at the catch point that it ends up getting him hurt for 6 games a year because he just jumps out of the stadium and comes down awkwardly all the time, and it sucks. But he's ridiculous at the catch point.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at with it. I mean, I think we see this similar type of player. And where I could see him fall in the NFL draft, like, there's a few different teams and if these teams and the archetype for wide receivers that they kind of go after. So Jacksonville at 107 and 131 makes a ton of sense. You look at the archetype that Darrell Bevell has coveted in the last, like, few different stops. We can go back to Detroit. We could talk about, and I mean, just look at who they got in the building right now. They need another wide receiver in that room. If we're going to look at if Bevell sees any types of shade of a downfield contested guy, I'm not going to put him as obviously in the same bucket as Marvin Jones, but we're talking about what Bevell has utilized in the offense previously. Seth Williams could make a ton of sense in Jacksonville, as well as I think Houston needs another outside wide receiver. So they make some sense at 110.
Houston was my pick, so they need size at receiver.
The other place I'll bring up, and they need another outside wide receiver, because currently we're talking about contested catch guys and catch and fall down guys and guys that want to be Mike Williams that are not Mike Williams. Auden Tate can't be expected to start on the outside for Cincinnati. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I get it.
Well, no, because Jamar Chase is.
If they don't go Jamar Chase and they do the rational thing and they get Sewell... I think Seth Williams could make some sense at 112 in the fourth round. Any other teams' landing spots stick out to you, Adam?
No, not really. I was going to mention Houston, and you brought them up. They just need size at receiver, right? I mean, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, Andre Roberts, they don't have a lot of guys that can go up and get the football. So Seth Williams, you know, fourth round draft pick. I think he's going to go off the board late third, fourth round as well. So that was his first spot that stood out to me.
Yeah, I think we're talking about, you know, teams that are going to need a complimentary, like, wide receiver three in the offense that could play outside and win down the field. And I think that Seth Williams, that's basically the bucket that we need to be kind of viewing him in for fantasy or transition to the next level. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for Seth Williams. Adam and I are going to be back tomorrow discussing another NFL mock draft as we get closer to the NFL draft. This is our mock draft 3.0. We got Michael Florio in the house, man. Gonna stop by, run through this first round with us, talking about all these different landing spots. And we're gonna shake this up a little bit. We're actually gonna throw in some trades for this one. So we're gonna get wild with this, man. Do not miss that episode. Tune into it. Get subscribed today. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.